KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
I'm getting a little older, but this McDonald's coffee still goes down good. You know, I'm halfway there.
You are halfway there.
Yes. I'm going to be 49 this month.
Are you really?
Yeah. I'm halfway there. I hope to make it to 98.
Happy birthday.
Gosh, the Lord be with me. 98.
Halfway there.
98.
Jeez. I don't know what you'd do if you're 98.
We do have a meeting coming up for Walleyes Unlimited.
April 19th.
April 19th.
And that's at 7 o'clock at Pier 81.
They are shutting down more waters. You guys going to talk about that?
I don't know what we're going to talk about this month, but I'm sure that's going to be a topic.
No, let's not get into the controversial stuff.
Yeah, I know it.
We get to talk.
It was a good law.
We get to talk crappie today. Crappies and walleyes and all kinds of good things and how much fun it is to be on the road. We have a fine, fine guest with us.
Who do we have?
One from the day. He's been with us before. Oh. Good morning to you, Tom Scarless.
Good morning, Lynn.
Good. Well, good morning, and the beautiful bluffs of Northeast Iowa looking good this morning.
Well, I'm still kind of in the flatland right now, but I'm working my way there, and I'm telling you what, it is a beautiful morning here in Iowa.
What
29 degrees.
Is that all? No snow?
We got snow on the ground, but it's not snowing.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah.
We just recently got dumped on I was out of town fishing a crappie tournament. We got 10 inches of snow. And fortunately, the boys know the drill. They've got certain areas they've got to clean up with the shovels. And, you know, we got it all cleaned up. But right now, no, the sun's shining. It's beautiful. I mean, this is a day where you're driving along and you're looking at all the wildlife and the trees and the cornfields. I tell you what, if you can't find God this morning where I'm at, you ain't going to find it.
Oh boy, crappie fishing.
And I'm feeling a little sparky this morning, so your listeners, I hope all your listeners out there are ready for a sparky radio show.
We didn't even have to turn him on this morning.
He came fully turned
he
on.
He came fully. the barrels are loaded. Yo, you mentioned crappie fishing. What's been going on in the world of crappies? I just had to scroll back just a couple posts, and you have a third place, a fifth place, and are you kind of in the upper echelons of that Crappie Masters USA?
Well, you know, we've been very blessed. The Crappie Masters is a tremendous circuit. Kyle and I, of course, won the national championship pulling offshore planer boards and flicker shads, two items that the crappie anglers really didn't know a lot about back in 2013. And then we go back to Florida the next year and get second place in the state championship. Following year, we get second place in the state championship. And I've always wanted to go after the points total, the team of the year race. So I hook up with an older gentleman, and not older, but he's older than me, 60 years old. And this guy rolls like he's 44 years old. He jumps in and out of the boat. He's phenomenal. His name's Mike Baker. And he's an attorney out of Missouri. And but the coolest guy you ever met, and you can't even tell he's an attorney. And no, I'm just joking. But anyway, great guy, works hard. And, you know, we're in this partnership, in this team that we've built for crappies. What I am not, he is. And what he doesn't have, I got. So we bring both of those toolboxes to the race, and we're fixing it up pretty good. It's been a lot of fun, and man, the learning curve has been phenomenal. Not just the fishing, but the food, the people we're running into. I mean, all of these critters down south are characters, and you know, they're like, "Hey, Yankee boy, caught a lot of crappie today in that tournament. Nice job, but when you going back up north?"
You just turn that truck around and head her north, would you? And just keep going until you're in Canada.
Yeah, you bring them ducks down here, them fancy planer bowls, and then you bring them tadpoles and diving weights and your jigs and your crankbaits. And you ought to go back up north, boy. And we've made a lot of really cool friends. You get to eat like stuff like crawfish and catfish and hush puppies and biscuits and gravy down there. I'm going to tell you what, that's how Mama fixed them. You know what I'm talking about there? Big cathead biscuits. But the fishing is phenomenal. They've got bodies of water like Lake Grenade in Mississippi to where it's predominantly white crappies. And in 4 years, 5 years, they're 2 pounds. It would take up north here, it would take our crappies 10 to 15 years to get up to 2 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing. And the subculture of, all these people crappie fishing and all of these people catfishing. And it's the learning curve has been just incredible and a lot of fun.
What are those? We understand the water's warmer for a longer period of time. So, I mean, they're just eating more. What are they foraging on to grow like that, Tommy?
Well, when I'm down there, I'm hoping they're foraging on open water shad. Because if they're foraging on open water shad, then we can address them with planer boards and other tactics that, a lot of these guys can't do. I'm reading the articles, and they're letting out 150 to 200 feet of line on their spinning rods to troll jigs.
Oh, God.
They've got no depth control. Well, how do you know where your lures are running? Well, I don't know. I just let out all the line on my spinning reel, and that's where I put my jigs at, boy. And, how speed influences jigs and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong. These guys are tremendous anglers. They know their species. You put these guys on spider rigs where they sit in the front of the boat. They got 8 rods out in front of 2 people. 2 baits per rod, which means 16 minnows in the water.
16 minnows?
They will completely deliver your lunch to you. And they will say, here you go, boy, eat it up. So this year we decided, well, we're going to learn how to spider rig. Two of our three top sixes. We've got a third, and a sixth in the last 3 tournaments. 2 of the 3 of those came spider rigging with 16 baits in the water.
I caught that on a picture that you had of your boat. I could see the spider rig rod holders in the back. So Mr. Baker has had an influence on Mr. Scarless.
Yeah, and, we're learning together. And this guy's a tremendous, what they call a one-pole fisherman. He's a tremendous jig fisherman. And, he's standing on the boat, he's dipping up in the lily pads, and he smokes a 3-pound black crappie in the second tournament of the year, and it held on for big fish up until this last tournament. Somebody caught a 3-2-7 or a bigger one than that. He's just an animal. and here's what's cool. We're jigging in Florida in 2 foot of water, and 10, 12 feet from us is a 10-foot alligator. and it was really cold, so they were all coming up trying to sun, trying to warm up, speed up their metabolism. And they were just getting going for the year down there. And I asked a buddy of mine, I said, do we got anything to worry about? And he goes, nah, them alligator pretty cold right now. You don't have to worry about that right now, he says. But that water warm up, you better not get that close to them when you're jigging.
Your chicken. You're chicken.
Yeah, I'm chicken. I'm going to tell you what. I saw one alligator that was 20-some foot long and as big around as 3 of us.
Hey.
And, 5 of you, Lynn.
5.
And anyway.
About the same size as Neil, then.
Yeah, you bet. About.
God bless you, Neil. But anyway. It was pretty incredible. That thing actually gave me goosebumps. I'm like, Mike, we're not going to get 10 foot from that one. And it's really cool. The things we're seeing, the people we're meeting, and the food we're eating. It's pretty cool.
Have you integrated some of this crappie knowledge into your tour of seminars?
Oh, my seminar speaking has flourished because of crappie angling. People up north want to learn how they're doing it down south, and people down south want to know some of these northern Yankee tactics like pulling offshore planer boards, So It's really been helpful. You know, it's opened up new opportunities. I've spoken in Kansas City and St. Louis to where they want to hear a little bit about walleyes and they want to hear a little bit about crappie. So my crappie seminar is over in Michigan, Detroit, Grand Rapids, Illinois, Wisconsin have been drawing more people than my walleye seminars. So I found another venue, another speaking opportunity, and it's been all really cool stuff.
So, you know, my grandpa taught me to catch crappies with just throwing the jig out the back of the boat with a little skirt on it, usually purple or pink. And but yet, once in a while, we'd throw a little crankbait out over the top of the weeds on Lake Cochrane in eastern South Dakota. It sounds like the planer board combined with mostly are they, you know, smaller? You had mud baits on, you call them, so you had the bright colors on. Is there anything evolving, or is this kind of just taking the crappie world a little bit by storm?
Well, I've had numerous anglers come up and say, man, you cost me a lot of money, boy. I had to go out and buy me them offshore plane bowls. I had to go out and buy me some dad bowls. So it's opening up their eyes, and they're getting it done. We had a tournament here in Lake Washington down in Greenville, Mississippi, about a month ago, and there was a number of boats pulling planer boards. And I'm not talking two planer boards. I'm talking eight planer boards.
Oh.
And here I'm trying to pull six of them right.
Yes.
And these guys got eight out in the water already. I'm like, man, you guys are animals.
You quick learners and, down there.
Or slow.
Well, and I could tell that they probably were going to have some issues a time or two when I saw them turn too fast. But, hey, I had to learn too. So, you know, they're picking up this stuff. They're learning depth control. They're getting the precision trolling app. They're starting to learn where their baits are at. And a lot of them already knew probably where their baits are at. But, you know, this is the thing about fishing that I'm not going to say that they're ignorant for not knowing where their baits are at. They're great fishermen. They put their lures in the water. They remember, you know, like my buddy Cooter used to say, I was on a cast and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he put his bait out a cast and a half. He knew where his bait was at.
Yes.
Catch a fish on it, duplicate that. So these guys are duplicating fish catching tactics. So when you put your bait out a cast and a half and you catch a fish on it, you do it again. And I may be a little redundant in this, but it's that simple. And it's the one thing that people try to overcomplicate fishing. If you put your lure in the water and you catch a fish on it, do it again. It's that simple. Duplicate how you caught the first one. And that's one of the cornerstones of the pattern is where you had your lure at and how fast you were going. You start adding up, you know, what depth of water you were in. So these anglers know what they're doing. And now they're learning more, and it's fun to be a part of that. We came out with a new planer board for offshore. It's called the Awesome Crappie Planer Board, which those are my two brands that I license products with. The Awesome Crappie Planer Boards. We've got Awesome Walleye Hooks from Daiichi. We've got the Awesome Walleye Runner from Roadrunner. And this Awesome Crappie Planer Board is a smaller board. It floats. It's under $20, so people can learn how to pull planer boards. And it also detects really small crappie. You know, you get into a body of water full of little fish, and that big OR-12 from offshore may be tough to tell you got one on, especially if you've got that experience with planer boards. But this new Awesome Crappie planer board is inexpensive to get into, and you can detect the lightest fish or the smallest fish nibbling on it or on your bait. So they're buying those. They're really moving the needle as far as planer board fishing and some of these new tactics. And the tadpole, you know, where they normally let out 150 foot of line on 2/32 ounce jigs,
to try to get these
down 8 feet. Now you just put out a number one tadpole at 1 mile an hour. You let it out 19-20 feet. It's about a 2-to-1 ratio over the rise over run. So if you put back the tadpole 2 foot with jigs behind it, you put those baits 1 foot in the water. So if you want to get your baits down 10 foot, you put it out 20 foot. You just double what the depth you want to go is, stagger your baits and find out where those fish are feeding at.
Very much a tactic that was used in over above trees on on reservoirs and over above weed beds in northern Minnesota over the years that that you have taken some of your tricks and
that's pretty good.
Used them. I like that. Now the old paper mouth doesn't have 128 feet of line to come into the boat to come off on. You're fighting that fish for 20 or 30 feet is all.
Well, and what's cool about this is I've got the opportunity now to take some of these crappie tactics and apply them to walleyes. We've got power trollers. We use these 16-foot heavy spider rig rods. And I've got the opportunity to put a couple of creek chubs on those.
Oh, I bet.
Put them out the front of the boat, go one mile an hour across Cass Lake, and Chaminade. All these fish that everybody are bumping off the break and that are sitting out there suspended that nobody can figure out how to catch, watch out, because I'm going to try some of these tactics on walleyes, and I will flat guarantee you they will work.
Yeah.
I'm positive of it because it's a new way to address these fish.
Yeah, all the boat traffic, I think we underestimate. They even say on Devil's Lake, which we'd think would be dirty water, it's mucky, it's algae floating. They absolutely, those walleyes, get very, very boat shy on lakes like that. And we really, really, Lake Oahe, Cass Lake, all of these lakes, I believe we underestimate the boat traffic and what they do, how many fish we push off structure before we get there.
Well, and you push them around in open water, too. These suspended crappies, you go over them, you mark 30 of them, and then you come back and there's two, and then you come back and they're gone. And, you know, so it's
so that's where the trolling covers that water again out from the structure, probably at the same depths, but it never hurts to do a loop out there. Is that what you're finding?
Well, it doesn't hurt to do a loop, but it also doesn't hurt to just keep covering new water and never looking back.
Okay.
And, you know, we're finding, you know, what's really cool is I've got, my Ray Marine's got side vision, down vision, and I'm using that now more than ever.
X-ray vision, heat vision, polar vision.
with Ray Marine's chirp, it always looks like it's in simulator mode. Everything's always crystal clear. And I've got, you know, 3D vision where you go over and it actually paints the sides and the bottom out in 3D. So you're actually looking, you look at it at what those fish were at what depth the bait fish were at. This 3D real vision actually covers that and colors the fish, colors the bait. So the shad will be higher than the crappies. And, you know, it's interesting when you're trolling along, again, how much that boat pushes those fish around. And I'll tell you a simple, kind of an interesting factoid. Was out on Big Stone Lake in Ortonville, Minnesota, not far from you guys. And fishing that back in the late 90s. And I slammed the lid on my boat, slammed like a locker lid, and had carp jump 400 yards from the whole bay lit up that we were in the north end there of Big Stone. So I'm thinking to myself, if I made all those carp freak out in 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 foot of water up in that bay, and I mean for like a 400 yards in every direction, they jumped in the air. What does that do to fish when you make noise? And a lot of times we're turning off our sonar for these crappies. And I'm thinking with walleye, maybe when we find the walleyes, maybe it's time to turn off the sonar and just rely on the GPS. So, like I said, the learning curve, Lynn, guys, is blowing my mind.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, isn't it? Kind of fun.
I can see it's got your tumblers turning.
I got the wheels turning.
You're mistaking that for just plain confusion.
it might have been the hamster. Hamster got a little tired.
Yep.
Bing, 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 bing. He's moving. That's all right. You got to do is put feed and water in him. Well, we're into the last 30 seconds here, Tom. Again, everyone, we've had Tom Scarless on here talking about the world of crappie fishing, but how you can actually use some of those tactics from walleye fishing in the crappie world and vice versa, crappie world to the walleye world. But
and he's making our job really easy this morning.
And he's just he's entertaining us.
Absolutely.
Well, last few seconds, Tommy. What's on the horizon for you over the next few weeks in the world of walleyes?
Well, the world of walleyes still is going to be put on hold. We've got a crappie tournament down at Lake Fork down in Texas, so I'm driving down there next. I bought 6 different licenses, Louisiana, Missouri, Florida, Mississippi, and now Texas. And we're going to have the Artificial Only Crappie Masters One Pole Championship. Where you have to fish with artificial, we'll be jigging standard timber, and we'll be catching 2 to 2.5 pound crappie. So that's what's up for me next.
That's what's in your horizon. Any walleyes later this spring?
Yeah, I've got the Walleye Anglers Trail Tournament out of Dubuque, which we've got that lighting up on the Mississippi River. And then the National Walleye Tour starts in Red Wing, Minnesota in May. So kind of gearing up those, got those on the radar. They're in the distance, but I got them on the radar. And then the last thing is for everybody, get ready for crappies. There's still a lot of good crappies right now. And if you're going to be fishing them on Lake Oahe or anywhere else there in South Dakota, it's no different than anywhere else. Pay attention to 6 to 12 foot of water. Those fish are going to be 6 to 12 foot down, and they might be suspended. They may be in 12 foot of water, but a good place to start looking for crappies is 6 to 12 foot deep.
And they have questions in their minds chasing crappie out on the northern edge ends of Lake Oahe right now. They're trying to figure them out. And there's a few that have, especially the guys that come up from Nebraska. I mean, those guys.
They've got to figure it out.
The Dakota boys are going, what? And they're beautiful, beautiful crappies on Lake Oahe.
Oh.
People driving there just to fish them. So thanks again, Tom. We appreciate everything. We will see you next time, and we'll find you again on the old dusty trail soon.
Thanks, Tom.
Yep. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Another week of On the Water in the Air here from Watertown, South Dakota. Live on 1480 and the replay tomorrow morning, or excuse me, Saturday morning, 7 a.m. on KS93. Over and out to everyone, and over to Randy Grimes. Take care.